Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. It is 2025, the year started with a bang, and I am more than ready to be back releasing episodes after a great break. I hope you all took some good time off this holiday and that the year has just started off so well. This week, I'm stoked to welcome a local talent and friend of the trail community, Simon Pocock. A wizard with the camera, this guy has a gift for storytelling and connecting with people. One of the main topics we chat about on this episode is creative development and how the sports world has played a role in that process for him. We talk about events, his work with the T-Rex team, and the future of sports media. As usual, Trail Culture wouldn't be happening without the help and continued support of Carbon Endurance, a product distribution house that has all your training and racing needs covered. For those who are taking on big training blocks in this heat, Carbon Endurance offers guidance on heat training and has amazing options for recovery in their Pillar Performance product range. All of this is rooted in science, it's the real deal, and their team knows their stuff. All of the info is in the show notes for you guys to check out more. I hope you all enjoy the episode, and I'll be back here next week with the next one. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. We are back once again with season two, and this week I am stoked to welcome an outdoor enthusiast, a wizard with a camera, and a friend of the trail community, Simon Pocock. Today we're going to be talking about Simon's entry into the sports media space, his experience following the T-Rex team this year, as well as his personal creative projects and a little bit more. So I'm really stoked to have you on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you.
All the camera help getting set up. It's sure. Great. Yeah, I know you're not used to being on this side of the camera, so thanks for agreeing to be on the podcast.
Yeah, happy to be here and try my best to make sense of all the thoughts and like pictures and realities and so on. So awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm looking forward to this chat. And Simon, just to start off, it's always nice to understand a little bit more about the human that we're talking to. So can you just give us a brief background of who you are and where your love for the outdoors started?
Yeah, sure. So originally from Cape Town, born and bred, grew up pretty classic suburban setting, studied graphic design in town, Cape Town. And I would say as a youngster, like the outdoors were kind of part of family life. I was a Boy Scout for a long time. My dad loved to sail and loved to be in the mountains. Both my parents, they were avid diehard road runners. So like sports always been a factor. But yeah, I think love for the outdoors started pretty young, and then kind of like shifted away, I would say, in like high school, classic sort of boys school, rugby, water polo, a little bit more like kind of team sport, less adventure, which I think is kind of like a classic situation. And then being at design school kind of was quite a classic art student in many ways, like out and about in town and, you know, cruising and working on design projects and very much like in the kind of urban city lifestyle.
Yeah.
And having finished sport in school, I was kind of like, had like moved away from it entirely. It was quite a different few years. But actually like, when I started my kind of first job post studies, post gap year kind of world, I started to like pick it up again. This like interest returned, like started surfing with some mates, like the whole kind of outdoor world had it kind of naturally come back to me. And yeah, I think, and it's never, you know, it's been growing and growing since then. So that was kind of like my early 20s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you're, I mean, studying graphic design, so have you always been quite creative? Did you know that you wanted to kind of spend time working as a creative human? And
yeah, I think it's been quite a strong theme. Like in high school, it was like, I want to be a designer from kind of 16. You know, like I was the guy who was designing the flyers for like the birthdays and the parties at school, and like
nice.
Kind of self-taught, messing around. Like, funnily enough, didn't take design as a subject, which was like always a, or art, which was like a strange thing to manage as a teenager, like dabbling in that world, but not committing to it. I think I chose history and metalwork, which were like in some ways all about writing and in some ways all about practical design in some way. Like, so I think storytelling was like developing in that avenue. But yeah, so I went from high school to AAA for graphic design, and my career journey has been kind of like quite a mix though. Like I did quite a few years working in fashion. Like I had a clothing label for almost 10 years. Like a friend and I started it in Matric, so like very young. And that was kind of like running in conjunction with graphic design. So it was like this world of like branding, product.
Yes.
Brand storytelling, like, you know, how to develop an aesthetic and a kind of culture around clothing as like a means or a physical representation. So we would have lots of fun with like graphic design projects, you know, store design,
really cool.
Photo shoots, okay. All sorts of things. Yeah.
And the kind of photography and filmmaking side, did that emerge through that sort of work that you were doing, or did that come along a little bit later?
Yeah, so I think the interest in photography was like always there.
Okay.
And it's obviously like quite a component of a lot of graphic design and branding. And film was also always there, but it was like quite a romantic kind of far out feeling. Like I have very distinct memories of like watching outdoor films kind of, you know, in would have been like 2010, 2011, like those early years of working where there weren't many like trail running films, or there weren't many short independent, you know, like Vimeo staff picks and those types of special projects that would, you know, a friend and I would always email to each other to like check out this one or that one, and you ended up like saving them and curating them, and it became like quite a special experience. Like, and I would always wonder like, why do I like this film so much? Like, what is connecting with me? What is it making me feeling? And yeah, it became like this kind of growing interest. And shooting photos was like a bit of a hobby always, that kind of overlapped with design. But funnily enough, like never gave it too much attention. Like it was always there, and design and clothing were like kind of a main thing. And I remember doing a big hike, like it was the Fish River Canyon hike.
Oh,
and
nice.
I took a little point and shoot with. And a friend who was on the hike was like a full-time photographer, and he had like his big Sony kit and all the bells and whistles. And I was just quizzing him for like 5 days straight. Like, how do you like teach me? Like, how do you use aperture? What's happening with the ISO? Like, tell me how to expose? Like, what do these things mean basically? And it was quite a crash course and quite a formative experience. Like you think nothing, not much of it at the time, but it really taught me a lot. And from there, like I bought a bigger camera, like a Fuji. And at the same time, like my interest in trail running was really growing, I think. Like,
cool.
coming from like a road running family, I think as a kid I was like overexposed. So I spent like every weekend at a road race, you know, Peninsula or Oceans, or like my mom and dad had their blue numbers by the time I was like 12 or something. So like I grew up with this like road running culture, and in high school I was like the bare minimum of fitness, like didn't want to run, you know, didn't want to train. And then somewhere along the line in my early 20s, it like clicked over and I was like, running is rad and it's fun. And I remember seeing like more and more pictures of guys on the mountain, and particularly Kane and Andre Guy. They would Andre would shoot these pics. They would do these awesome like Kloof Corner missions and just be out like having a good time on the mountain. And I was like, this is rad. So yeah, like the camera would come on more missions, like whatever friends were keen to get out and about, it kind of grew like in parallel. And then at some point, like I think it was 2017, I was like ready for a change in job, and like met Greg Fall. Stu McConaughey actually sent me an advert, like Greg Fall was looking for a designer to help him with something.
Yeah.
And it was like a small branding project for one of the films that he was working on. And like I had known Greg and Dean, and particularly from The Wandering Fever, African Attachment,
okay,
which was like doing all the Salomon work back in the day, running TV.
Yes.
Which like I think set the tone for so many like pieces of trail running story and content. And yeah, so long story short, I basically convinced Greg to give me a job. And then started out with Fall and Co. like in the early years, more as a designer than in the production side. But the intention was always to shift over. So, you know, was very privileged and lucky to be able to like play with the gear and learn and work from there. Yeah, that's kind of like.
And so that was 2017, and then move more into the trail running space. And is that, I think not just trail, I think I've seen you've captured quite a lot of like outdoor sports and activities. And did you just find yourself kind of, as you did one project, it would lead into something else?
Yeah, it was, I think like I kind of like naturally found this space of like, I really, the more I can be running around like in the outdoors with the camera, like the happier I am. And, you know, I was also lucky that like at Fall we did quite a lot of sports work.
Yeah.
It was like this, yeah, this kind of natural progression. And, you know, I was there for almost 4 years and did like a wonderful array of work and learned a hell of a lot. And at the same time, I was kind of, you know, the trail running interest was growing. So, you know, the partaking in events and taking a camera on adventures was like kind of happening naturally.
Yeah.
So when I left the company in 21 and went like full freelance, I suppose the event space was like a real natural kind of starting point.
Yeah.
Having known, you know, being quite close with the community, with the event organizers and people. And so yeah, trail was definitely the intro, but then, you know, like the Cape Epic is happening and mountain biking is quite a thing, and there's a few small brands in SA that are like, it all kind of overlaps and everyone kind of knows everyone in many ways. So it's the connections definitely evolve and grow for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, something that's kept you busy this year and largely out of the country, I think, has been working with the Terex team. Yeah, and that was so interesting for me. I think when we chatted early days, you were like, you like work with the team and you're following them and you're going to be out, kind of out of South Africa for a few months. And what does that look like? Like how did that come about, and what does your role look like with working with them?
Yeah, so that's been like quite a wonderful progression or experience in many ways. I think like, just to give you some context, I suppose like going into the event space, like from an early time, I realized like there's a lot of brand activation and activity that's running, you know, alongside the actual event media. And, you know, the brand stories are the ones where you're focusing on specific athletes and specific experiences and specific, you know, stories, whether they are racing or partly racing and partly adventure. So there was always like this ambition and kind of intention to connect more with brands. And yeah, at the end of last year, you know, in Cape Town, everyone's favorite trail race, UTCT. I got a message saying like the Terex media crew are coming to Cape Town, and are looking for someone to shoot with them. And Tony, actually, thank you, Tony, had put my name forward, because they often, you know, we ask the team for people or the actual runners for people they know, because it's often easier to work with local crew all over the world. And yeah, so the guys, you know, booked me for the weekend as a cinematographer, part of the video crew. Yeah, we had a wonderful time. Like the team are all German, come from a small town called Kempten, which is like in the south of Germany. They essentially are a small agency, and they do all the Terex work. And at the end of that event, we it was a great experience. And a couple months later, like at the beginning of the year, Nick, the producer, just said like, hey, do you want to work with us for the whole season? And like, do you want to, you know, join our team, and, you know, as part of the larger Terex team? And I was like, well, yeah, for sure. That sounds wonderful.
Nice.
And here we are. Yeah.
And so you've spent most of the year like going, I think you started with the training camp at the start of the year and then following the events. And is it just telling like the athlete story and the story of the Terex team? Is that kind of the focus and the brief?
Yeah, so we started in a place called Fuerteventura, which is a small island, part of the Canary Islands, if I'm not mistaken, off Morocco. And that was the team camp. And basically every event that Terex is kind of committed to, we're there to tell the story of the event, you know, the racing and the experience of the athletes, but also give like quite a strong behind the scenes sort of behind the racing in the day-to-day lives of athletes and team, you know, sports support, sports marketing, everyone that's like part of this family dynamic, really.
Yeah.
And so the brief does vary for sure. And that brief will come from Terex, Adidas in Germany and the marketing team. So like, for example, in a team camp, we did like a bunch of short films that were released every few days.
It was very cool.
Yeah, which was like a fun, you know, a little bit more of a fun kind of angle. You know, there's no racing. It's the whole team is together. You get to know everyone. And then we did Transvolcania on La Palma Island, which was wonderful, like a very different environment, which is also an official Terex event. So it made sense to have like quite a strong commitment there from the team.
Yeah.
That was you know, quite a strong racing focus, but also like the life around racing. And Western States was a good one, which was racing, pre-racing, and then a long-form documentary, which had a lot of work, you know, long before we even got to America. The guys from Germany, the kind of internal team, were shooting a few bits with specific athletes for that film. And then UTMB, obviously, which is like the Super Bowl, the chaos
of
Chamonix. And that was, you know, covering all the different races, OCC, CCC, UTMB, and telling the story of each race and the performance, and then understanding like the team dynamic. I think that's like a strong theme across the whole year, is what goes into the back end, you know. It's like everyone stays together, there's like you know, everyone is well looked after, and there's like a real kind of family energy, and we plug into that as much as we can. I think, you know, walking around with cameras all day, is you have to give the athletes a bit of space. I think that's like a kind of a documentary reality. You have to, I think that's where like the kind of human understanding and just kind of understanding the realities around performance and athletes and how things work. But the athletes also know how it goes, so to speak. So I think everyone there's a really good energy and a good vibe, but there's also a time when you need to put the camera away. So I think that's kind of, respect is a strong thing.
It's been so cool to see. I think one team is like the slogan that they use, and so amazing, even if some of the athletes aren't racing, how they go out to crew or support one another at these events. And even if it's like they've got their race the next day, but the day before, the day after, they're out there on the route supporting one another. It's nice to see the team side of trail running. I think I always viewed it as like quite like an individual sport, and that's been a really cool theme to see it pull through.
Yeah, it's a strong point for Terex, for sure. I mean, I think Western States, there were 5 athletes running, and there were like at least 20 to 25 in support. Obviously, there was Broken Arrow the week before.
Yes.
A couple guys raced that and then stayed on to support or crew or pace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the team sport dynamic is definitely strong with Terex, and a growing kind of strategy for sure.
And Simon, something like Western States and even your experience in Chamonix and like going into those international spaces, it's not like the local events that you're used to in South Africa. How has that kind of changed your view of sport media? What do you learn when you go into spaces like that? I can imagine it's quite different.
Yeah, I think it's a great experience. I think it was always like a personal ambition to like be on, you know, in the mix, like on the international stage. I think a lot of people have similar feelings. You know, the athletes want to race there, people want to be there. So this kind of natural pull to be there was always like a reality. But I think the one thing I have realized is like we're all human, and social media and the internet kind of a lot of the time makes these things feel like they're way out there or way up there, but they're not. Like, it's not like going to the moon or something, you know, like everyone, when you're there and you're on the ground. I remember shooting like 2022 was the first time I was at the UTMB week, and I had like, we were there on a personal trip, and like my partner Pip was racing CCC and I was racing Monte Rosa a week later, and like I had picked up like 2 days of work with Salomon China actually, and I was shooting the start of TDS.
Okay.
which starts at midnight in Courmayeur, like first time in the Alps, like you don't really, you're just like, whoa, like this is quite overwhelming.
But yeah.
You're standing on the start line and you're looking around and like all the, you know the drill from like media, kind of you're in the front, you know when to move back, like the marshals are shouting at you. It's like, it's like quite a thrill in many ways. It's exciting. It's like, you know, you kind of have your own race in a way. You like want to do your best. But you also realize like everyone is here. Everyone's got the same cameras. Everyone's kind of human and got the same challenges. And like they're looking at angles differently and looking at different things. And you kind of realize like, damn, like we, you know, I'm here and I'm doing the thing. And so I think in South Africa also, like in some ways it's like it kind of it teaches you to do more with less, I find. Like you often have less budget and more expectation. And when you get into like a global stage, it's like a lot of the time the folks are, things are different, but you've come from, you've it hasn't been an easy ride, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you work hard and you do your thing and you try and have fun and you like, and it works out. I think that's what I've realized. Like you don't need to change too much being in France or in California. It's like just, you know, stick to what got you there in the first place. It's kind of like my internal narrative.
Oh, that's so cool. And I think, Simon, something, one of the reasons I wanted to chat to you is like your involvement in sport media. And I think I've followed your work, and even just doing some research on you, I looked at your website and I was like, wow, you have done some amazing things and been to some really cool places. And I think with your experience in the last few years, you've got a good feel for what, or like a finger on the pulse of like sports media and what it means to be in that space. And as you mentioned now, like the challenges and the highlights and things. And I think I just want to understand a little bit more about it. With trail running growing, it feels like it's booming and it's becoming super popular, and there's like professionalization, which is great, I think, for athletes and events. And but how have things changed in terms of like media coverage and the demand and even how we consume the content? We had a brief chat just now, and like when I think of UTCT weekend and friends on the media crew, it's like they're coming and going and just like dropping stuff off. Things are being created and released. It's like a super fast turnover. You're trying to cover all angles. There's like 5 races going on. It's 3 days. It's nuts. So yeah, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's been quite a crazy thing to be a part of. I think I've been very lucky in many ways to like have been growing, career's been growing alongside the sport. So like opportunities have been there. So you know, it's been like a really lucky experience in many ways. But I think the volume and the scale of things just continues to kind of, blow my mind. Like, you know, just from being at, I suppose it's like so much of it is connected to, you know, social media and access to information and the internet and so on. And like the way that things operate, it just gets, the expectation grows along with, I suppose, like the brands and the teams and the events are like really trying to, it's almost like this move towards as live as possible, right?
Yeah. So
the events, as it's like a big goal to always be live, live racing in the mountains, which, you know, like people, viewers are used to, like when they watch, you know, Berlin Marathon or whatever, the live is always, it's been there for ages.
Yeah.
But I find with events in the outdoor space, it's all about getting things out, like getting media out, and as quality as possible, I suppose. So I think the downside is it becomes this like kind of crazy ecosystem where there's so many things happening at once.
Yeah.
that it almost becomes like a quantity over quality kind of experience, and a lot of things get lost. But from a purely practical point of view, like being at these events and seeing how many cameras are running around and how many people are producing content for brand channels, athlete channels, like support channels, it's pretty wild. Yeah. And I always kind of wonder, like, what's the threshold here, you know?
Yes.
Like Western States, I swear it sometimes there's more cameras than runners.
Yeah.
And you're like, where's all this going, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, I'm thick in the middle of it and have fun as much as I can. But yeah, it's evolved quite fast and from a scale point of view. And yeah, it's just, you kind of, things come and go real quickly, I think.
Yeah.
When I shot my first epic, I remember the guys were like, cool, you shoot from like 6 a.m. till whatever, early afternoon. You got to have 20 photos out by like 5 p.m. And I was like, what? My memory card reader was like so slow that I couldn't actually like download the photos before 5 p.m. And I was like, this is a trial by fire, like 100%.
Yeah.
And so you learn pretty quickly, like how to work with it and what to do and how to shoot things, you know, for different executions.
Yes.
Something wants to get out quickly, how you shoot it versus shooting it for a longer form project and how you manage all of those things. But yeah, like, I mean, at our team, our Terex team, we anywhere from 5 to, I think we had like 9 people at UTMB.
Oh, wow. That's
Sebi shoots and edits, you know, Yannick is like on big, real big cinema camera, like DOP. I'm running around with the Sony. We've got like GoPro runners, gimbal guys. The drone is up if it can be.
Yeah.
And it's quite a crazy amount of data that like gets like streamed into this 1 minute reel.
Yeah.
Then we always laugh about how much it is, but we it's just part of the process.
Yeah.
I mean, at UTMB, we had 2 editors who were like not quite locked in a room, but like they were sitting at the Airbnb, like, and we were just dropping off memory cards.
Yeah.
And they were like crunching through footage all day.
That's crazy.
You know, making selects, moving things around, figuring out like what to put in pieces that were being released along the week.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what it takes, you know, like that's, you have to kind of have these resources to get things done. And yeah, I think it's a mad world for sure.
And I know you mentioned like the, what is the threshold now? And I think this is something I've asked a few of the athletes who are racing at this level, but as exciting as like the professionalization of the sport is, it does feel like there's a lot more like media pressure. And you even mentioned earlier, like knowing when to back off from the athletes and like give them some space. And how does that like influence you when working on an event, like feeling this like bit of a pressure part of you guys have things to deliver, the athletes are there to do a job. And like a lot of it is, I think they know that there's an expectation to be like present for the media and accept interviews and things. But yeah, how do you find that dynamic? Do you see it as like quite a positive thing, or does it have like some negative twists to it?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways, and it essentially comes down to like the athletes and how their personal preference or relationship with media. I think the media expectation is definitely grown like heaps in the last few years. And sponsorships are like as much about winning races as they are about, you know, content output and like, you know, likes and followers and all these kind of realistic things that are part of like modern media. So I think what that means for us is that in some ways it makes our jobs easier, because the athletes understand that there's an interaction or an expectation around sharing their story, sharing their experience, running for the camera, all these things that are part of their profile. And whereas a couple of years ago, it was definitely less so. I remember shooting with the Springboks with at Fall & Co, and they would just say no, we don't have time for the camera. And a lot of I hear those stories from Tour de France situations where the stakes are always high, I guess, but guys and ladies are we don't want media time right now. And that does happen with our trail running world. I think it's always had this kind of laid back free spirit energy, but as it becomes more professional and more intense, that all kind of changes and evolves and rises. I think developing a rapport with an athlete, a human yes. kind of understanding is really important. And I think, connecting with people on various levels that are often unrelated to trail running or sport is also a really important thing. For someone who's a pro trail runner, the reality is they don't really want to talk about UTMB for every minute of every day in yeah. UTMB week, right? Yes. But they do talk about it, I think quite openly and honestly with their teammates, because it's a reality for everyone.
Mm.
But for me as a kind of documentary filmmaker, you don't want to hammer home that point. You need to ask the question at the right time, and you yes. need to really be strategic with those conversations and those discussions, and that applies for every race and every experience. And sometimes they just want to talk about surfing or mountain biking, or all these athletes are actually humans at the end of the day. It's a real important. I hope that answers your question.
No, it does. And something that's cool is I love some of the more behind the scenes stuff that's come out of the T-Rex world. It's so fun for me to see the athletes sit down to eat together. I think they all really like food, and all of them, as they've been introduced to come race at UTCT, have been what are you looking forward to the most in Cape Town? And I think 80% of the athletes were the food.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So those things and different hobbies and I can imagine even just that they're all from different parts of the globe, play a role. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, locality and provenance are really important. And people, it's really nice to share stories of home with everyone. And, the T-Rex team is very global in many ways, and talk about, where they come from and what they do. And, some folks are from they're cattle ranching in Texas, and other guys are from Boulder, Colorado, and New Zealand, France.
Crazy.
The Spanish guys are hilarious. It's a really good energy. And I think being a South African is also quite special in many ways in that world, because you're quite I don't want to say neutral, but you don't have a lot of expectation or assumption that comes with a lot of other nationalities, which is
interesting.
A cool conversation to have, getting to know people outside of just the sport, right?
Yeah, that's great. And Simon, I think the future of sports media, where do you see that going for trail running? I think you mentioned earlier Solomon TV. I've listened to a couple of podcasts of how that started, and even watching something UTCT there, where their media was to where it's going now, and even the Otter, trialing and testing, can we get runners running behind the front field and get it out live, can we stream it? And I've always wondered one day if people are going to sit in their lounge, turn on Super Sport, and there's a trail running race. But what are your thoughts on on where do you see it going and developing, I suppose, yeah, in South Africa, but globally? Like, are you seeing quite a lot of change as you work on projects?
I think, the scale, you know, like to start off simply, like the growth is there and the scale is there, and it continues to grow, like I think across the board, in terms of like racing, actual race events, right? Like how many new races do we hear of? And people partaking in the sport, I think that continues to grow. I think the media is like an interesting space because, you know, this the mountain and the trails can only hold so many people. So, you know, from event to event, like the scale, there's kind of like a threshold there, right? Like you can have whatever, 20, 50,000 people running the London Marathon, but you can't really have that on Table Mountain. And think about how many people go and watch Comrades. Like, it's hard to know how many of spectators will ever be alongside the trail. Like we see it in places like Chamonix and in Europe where it's chaos, but it's still, from a sporting point of view, like a fairly small amount of people, compared to like, I don't know, F1 or rugby or all these other sports. So I think the media has almost become like a specific vehicle to like in as part of the growth. Like imagine, like you say, like you are watching it on Supersport because people, it's a lot simpler than getting onto the mountain for a lot of people. Like, you know, the people who partake in the sport and who are fans, like they enjoy this idea of hiking up the mountain.
Yeah.
So I think the media will continue to become like this racing component. Like think of the Golden Trail series and like the, you know, that first or the early YouTube series, like that felt so much like Drive to Survive. Like I've had that conversation with so many people, like this is trail racing being like pushed into a whole new space. And I don't actually know the numbers for like viewership on these things, and like how many people are locking in to watch like these kind of serious, you know, series and online racing specific things. But I think we're continuing to see like more and more brand storytelling, more and more brand narratives around athletes and racing and the realities of being an athlete. And the brand teams are growing, like more people are part of the professional teams. As more consumers are entering the space, like, you know, the weekend warrior who doesn't actually race, still very interested in the media. And I think there's like more and more relatability with athletes who are, you know, working day jobs and racing, who are climbing mountains and racing. And so I think the media evolution is, it will continue to grow. And like, I wonder, it's hard to say if it will be like more mainstream or more kind of, I don't know, online, if you call it that.
Yeah.
But I do think the racing will continue to grow and people will be more and more interested. Like there's so many names now I've never heard of who are like winning races.
Yeah, crazy.
All over the world. But those communities and those countries have enough people to follow along and watch and be involved, and these races are full of runners. So I think the media will grow alongside that.
That's cool. Yeah, I love I think the attention the sport's getting. I mean, I'm very biased, but I think it's the greatest sport, and I think there's a lot of good things that can come out of that, and that growth, and it's accessible, but there's certain like core things to trail running that you'd want to keep, like, yeah, that, I don't know, sometimes if something grows too fast, you feel like you lose a bit of that.
Yeah, totally. I think the authenticity and the kind of spirit, and the, yeah, the understanding, we all, like, as purists, we kind of want to, you know, keep keep that where we can. But at the same time, you know, this is like such a big part of my career. So it's like, you know, what is the line there?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, look, it's also like sometimes the perspective is really important, like stepping back in many ways, like being in Chamonix now in October, away from UTMB and walking around and being out in the mountains, and reading books and understanding how small trail running is in like a culture, a mountain culture that's like, what, 300 years plus of alpinism and skiing and like snow sports. And trail running was almost like the plan B, the backup plan for like being a mountain athlete.
Yeah, that like Lhot Lamaki kid in the family came along like later.
And like kind of laughing and appreciating that.
Yeah.
And not getting too wrapped up in the hype around this kind of bubble that we often get stuck in, which is, we love it. And that's like, you know, what a privilege to mix your hobby and your work for sure.
Yeah. I think, I can't remember who it was, maybe Naomi Brandt. She was saying, she was in Chamonix this year and she was like walking through the streets and then these like kind of climbing athletes had like just come off the mountain and had all their gear and you could see they're mountain people, but and they were like, what is going on? And she's like, it's UTMB. And they're like, what is that? And she's like, oh, that's actually refreshing. Like this, it is still like a small sport that people can still learn about. Yeah. And Simon, I don't know if you ever have time for personal projects in between all the work that you do. But again, like when I went to check out your website and look at some of the things you've done, do you find like space and time to explore kind of creative avenues personally and like continue to develop skills and focus on things that catch your interest?
Yeah, I think I, as much as possible, I've had quite a good sort of regrow or rebirth in the last 6 months around personal projects. I think I had like maybe a little bit of downtime from that type of thing for a while. I think I don't really know why. It was never really like a good or a bad thing, but the last while has been kind of taking things out of the notebook and making them happen, which is
cool,
which is important. I think it's really important as creatives to do things that are like fun. I think we have to like, you know, remember our motivations to like why we do this, why we got into it in the first place. And also like, test your mettle, test your skills, like try something different. Start a project when you don't know where it would go. You just have an idea or an inspiration. Remove expectation from things and just go for it and see what happens. I think at the moment, like I literally just started a film project like last week that I've been like umming and ahhing about for this whole year. I think it didn't help that I wasn't in Cape Town a lot, but it's almost like mentally laying the groundwork, thinking about it, and then eventually you're like, well, I have to do something.
Yeah.
And then I've been working on a little book, which is like, you know, completely different kind of experience and tactile piece of design, which is like leaning into my formative years of graphic design and like combining that with photography and story, like and then other projects that are perhaps might not even feel like a personal project, like my dad and I have a small spot in the Cedarburg that it's like a half a cabin, half a camp, and like that was just like I've been building that with him for a while, and every time we go up there we like kind of tinker and change and upgrade, and that's like very much a personal project, but like nothing you would put on you know, Instagram too
much.
Yes,
yes. So, the book that you're working on, that's so interesting. I think I saw something that you love, or like you like long live print.
Yeah,
you like not everything has to be like consumed on a phone or a screen, and having it like printed out and seeing your work in that medium is really special. What is your book about?
It's very simple. Like, it's probably more of a zine than a book, but as a starting point, it's this caravan cabin in the Cedarburg. Like, I'd been documenting the whole process of building it with photos and like written notes. And everyone who's visited in the last 3 years has like, there's like a kind of journal logbook. So I've been compiling that into like a book of memories around, like, you know, photos of trips and adventures and building, like the mess of building a cabin.
That's awesome.
And then all the little notes of like what we got up to and what animals we saw and like, you know, runs in the area and all those type of things. So that's very much like a personal piece that doesn't have to be for any particular reason other than like creative expression or practice. I think seeing more trail running in print has always been like a dream or an intention. I think it's a lot more realistic overseas.
Mm.
Like Alexi Berg, one of my favorite trail photographers, and his books are like these wonderful pieces of design and history, and all published in France.
So cool.
I still think there's room for like an African trail book, which is like, you know, races and trails all over Africa, kind of curated from photographers across the continent, and would make room for exploring further up north.
Yeah.
It can't only be in Cape Town.
Yeah.
But even into, you know, Kenya, Mozambique, Malawi, all these countries that have their own mountains and don't necessarily have races or too many, but have trails for sure. So yeah, the print is always a good thing.
Yes.
Someone told me, I think Damien used to say, like, a photograph isn't real until it's printed.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I don't know where you got that from, but it's pretty cool, yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah, Damien, he was one of the early guests, and I couldn't believe some of the photos that he took, even on his gap year, and the experience that he lived. And he's like, yeah, you know, sometimes if he gets caught up in the rat race or something, he'll go and look at his prints, and he's like, wow, I've, like, lived this thing.
Yeah.
What a privilege, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That's so cool. And Simon, something else that came through here and there is like you spoke quite a lot about human connection and a little bit about storytelling. And that was something that I feel like pulls through in your work as well. And this like idea of knowing the person that you are like working with and filming and kind of interacting with and understanding them and their story. And how would you say like connecting with the human behind the lens affects your story or influences your storytelling?
I think it's like probably my main driving force or main consideration. I think like empathy is like one of my strongest feelings, and being empathetic in working situations. Sometimes it means that I'm not so good at direction because I'm like too empathetic, but I find that like the more you connect with your subject, the more real the experience is, the more feeling you create in your photos or your footage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that means like getting to know someone, appreciating them from as mutually as you can. I think the beauty of like we're all human and we all share so many realities is like really a global kind of reality situation. And the more you can connect with someone, the more authentic the experience becomes. And I think the more of their personal story they are willing to share or willing to show, it doesn't always need to be with words or with, you know, interviews or dialogue. It can be purely like a smile or a gesture or someone allowing you to come into their space, allowing you to capture their photo, to be there with the camera. I think, it's really important to me to like have that connection and that permission. Like it's often a very vulnerable thing when someone's shooting you, and like if you're not used to it, it's even more so. And so to have that understanding with someone and them almost welcoming it, trusting you with what you're doing and how you're documenting something, that it's for them and for their representing them, right? Not too much of your own intention or your own gain. I think to me that's like such a heart of documentary, is like you really have to connect with the person, and the more you connect with them, the more you can like explore certain things and ask questions and say like, hey, I've got this idea that, you know, if we shoot this together, it might tell the story in a way that I think will work well. Like, what do you think?
Yes.
And they hopefully trust you with that and are happy to take direction, rather than, you know, shouting at someone to like run around or do something you know. And I think it's something that like I kind of feel very strongly about, and becomes a reality, something I have to trust internally. Like sometimes it becomes stressful when there's an expectation to shoot things and you know that you are kind of ruining, you know, you're doing damage. You are this person doesn't want to be on camera, and you know that shooting them is, and because of that, and because of what's happening, it's a waste of, it's not worthwhile shooting.
Yeah.
But the pressure or the expectation is that you must shoot it. So balancing that out and saying, you know, putting up those boundaries or backing yourself to say like, this isn't right. We'll get it another time, or we'll figure it out.
Yeah, maybe we need to make some changes. This isn't working for this kind of specific individual.
Exactly. And that's like a real like cross-cultural reality, whether it's an athlete in France or a Samburu warrior in northern Kenya. Mm. It's like the same reality. Like you kind of just have to have that understanding and that trust.
Yeah. That sensitivity is important, I think. Yeah, not just going in camera.
Yeah,
at the ready. And
empathy is like a really important thing.
Mm. And Simon, I mean, your own story. I know you are like an avid like outdoor enthusiast and mountain guy. And again, with all the work, how much time are you able to spend running yourself? Are you finding time to, like, I don't want to say train, but I mean, if training is it, any events or races or projects coming up for you personally?
No racing, unfortunately. I almost got an option to do the 35 at UTCT, but our scheduling didn't work out. Yeah, it's funny. I had this conversation with someone in France at UTMB. I was like, I've never been closer to the sport and this unfit, if that makes sense.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I feel like I've spent a lot of time this year around professional athletes, but like structured training is really hasn't been much of a reality for me personally. I think like I'm quick to blame it on travel and work and all these things, which is like 100% a reality. And for me personally, I routine and structure and normal hours and days and so on, like I need that if I want to train properly.
Yeah.
But I have really like lent into this idea of getting out when I can, and not being upset that like I can't run at 6 a.m. or whatever because I'm working. And yeah, so this last October, Pippa and I were in Chamonix for the whole month, and it was like pretty special. Like I worked probably for the first 2 weeks, and then we were like out in the mountains like 6 days a week for the the last kind of half 3 weeks. And yeah, I really feel like I found my mountain mojo again. I think I've always been like more curious about like adventurous mountain stuff. Like I dabbled with this idea of like racing hard for a little bit, training very specifically and like all the nuances that come with it. I've had some good races, some good runs over the years, like proud of all of them. And I think I will come back to that in time. But the last year has been like a real strong career energy and like practicing craft and like I suppose committing the time and energy to that. And a lot of people can do both. But I find like the more I give my work, so to speak, or my craft, like the less energy I have for racing. So getting out of the mountains is like the refuel, the replenishment that like comes alongside the work, but it's definitely more of like an adventurous feel or going for a run for like not escapism, but just this idea of not working.
Yes, but a process time, just like in your own head.
And dreaming up like routes to try and fast packing ideas and peaks to bag and like that type of thing is like where I find a lot of inspiration, I think. And I definitely have ambitions for races, but maybe, I don't know, maybe when work evolves in another direction, who knows?
I've often thought, I was like really lucky that quite a lot of the film and kind of media crew stay behind the camera at events, because if they had to race, I think some of us would be in trouble, because I think you guys are used to lugging gear up and down mountains and doing all these things and like through the night, long hours on your feet. And I was like, it's like all really good racing tactics in the making for you guys.
Yeah, I think surprisingly become really good at hiking, which is like was never an ambition, but like I've realized hiking with like missioning with like a 12 kilogram, I don't know, up to 20 kilogram backpack full of gear, 1,000 meters up, down, all over the place is like pretty real. I think part of my original motivation with shooting trail running was like this idea of running around with a camera, so it's always been like part and parcel of being fit. And in some ways like this kind of unique offering, I suppose. But at the same time, it's like part of your question about the growth of media. It's like almost expected now, if you shoot outdoor media, you need to be partaking in the sport. And like there's obviously guys who are less active, but you are inevitably doing something that is like, you know, strong fitness, strong, strength out in the mountains. And I'm happy about that, you know, like, so many times it's like, I don't know, 15 hours into a shoot day and you like buggered and you like hungry and whatever but you like look around and you like, look where I am, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's so cool.
It's a really privileged like experience.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really lucky to be a part of it for sure.
Last question before we let you go. This is also just a nice way to understand a bit more of the human, but what is something that you've read recently that's inspired you?
Yes, funnily enough, I've read like more books in the last 6 months than probably my whole life.
Wow.
Which is like, I don't know, if maybe just with travel and like, I don't know, newfound curiosity. But a book that has stuck with me is called The Creative Act by a guy named Rick Rubin, who's like a big music producer. I actually like have it saved.
Oh, wow.
It's a little quote.
Oh, cool.
Can I tell you?
Yes, please.
And I'm like, I take photos of things in books that are like, feel something worth remembering.
Yeah.
And he talks about, he like has these little quotes in between chapters.
Oh, nice.
And he writes like, if we can tune into the idea of making things and sharing them without being attached to the outcome, the work is more likely to arrive in its truest form.
Wow.
And it's pretty deep. But I feel like it's this strong idea of like creating things for the sake of creating things and not, which is often a luxury, but not being too influenced by like what's going on around us and what other people are doing and other people are saying, and just sticking to your truth.
Yeah. Oh, it's been really cool to understand a bit more about the sport media space. Simon, thanks for your time. I think, yeah, something that pulled through for me is like, one, just to like pick up your head when it's crazy and see where you are. That's like the one thing. And then also just, yeah, that however you need to process it or look at it, but be like, this is how I view this. And like that point of view is like perfectly okay and has its place here and it's important and people would want to see that. So yeah, really cool.
Yeah, thanks, Em. I think as a creative, I've realized that the more you can kind of stick to your style or your motivations, your way of seeing things, and stay true to that as much as you can, like the universe kind of works out things for you around that. So people hire you or call you for your interpretation of things.
Really
rather
cool.
Than bouncing around between what you think people want to see or want you to do. Just stay true to what feels right.
Yeah. And last thing, where can we expect to see you? I'm going to say next year, 2025, the end of this year is fast approaching. Are you going to be continuing to work with the T-Rex team and follow them? Is that uncertain at this stage?
Yeah, I think the freelance reality is you kind of learn to become friends with the unknown. but I hope so. Cool. It would be cool to continue with the team. Part of me, yeah, the last few months I've been doing a bit more directing, a bit more story development, like building things that are not only visual, if that makes sense. And I'd like to continue with that. Like, I really enjoy directing, understanding stories, and developing them and guiding them. So I hope that'll be part of next year.
Awesome.
I'm very curious about creative leadership, like being, you know, as part of a team, managing a team, whatever that looks like. I don't have to be the guy with the camera. I think that's like something that's been a very beautiful journey, but like I feel like and very necessary. But moving forward, like, I don't know, maybe it'll be, I won't have it half of the time. Been directing a little bit where you stare at a monitor and the DP has the camera. And more than once I've like picked up the camera out of habit. And
oh, I'm wow.
Like, this isn't actually my job. So it's like quite, yeah, it feels like a strong evolution.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm keen to see where it takes you and where it goes. Good luck, and also your involvement at UTCT next weekend. I hope that's all smooth runnings. And I think I'm going to link everything in the show notes, and so that people can have a look at your work and some of the photographs that I mentioned earlier. But yeah, thanks again for your time, Simon, and helping us understand a little bit more of your creative world.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited for UTCT. In many ways, it was like the starting block for me with trail media and shooting and running. And I think I did my first, I ran for Stu in like 2015.
Nice.
And then ran around with the GoPro in 2016. And then finally had a camera in 2017. I've actually been involved every year since. So
oh, awesome.
It's a really like heartfelt weekend. And
wow, it's almost 10 time. Years of UTCT for you.
Yeah, almost. 2022 I ran the 100, so like happy
nice.
To have done that, and we'll definitely be back for it again. Still think I'm a bit scared for the miler, but yeah, who knows.
That's epic. Awesome. Thanks, Simon.
Thanks, Sam.
There you have it, everyone. An amazing episode with Simon Pocock. What a interesting and humble guy. It was super cool for me to hear a little bit more about his journey and how sport played such a massive role in his development as a creative. I hope you enjoyed the specific insights into some of the projects that he's worked on, and I will link the Creative Act in the show notes as well as his portfolio so that you can check out some of his additional work. I hope you all enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you back here next week for our next one.